Let's turn in God's Word. We're going to read the passage we read last Lord's Day, Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. And then we're going to read another passage in John's Gospel in chapter 15. So you can find both places, John chapter 15 and Isaiah 5. John chapter 15 and Isaiah 5. We'll start in Isaiah 5. And before we read God's Word, let's pray and ask for the Lord's help upon us. Let's pray. Our Father, once again we come before You seeking Your grace, Your mercy, because we have sinned against You. We have rebelled against You. Just like Israel, we've rebelled against You. We pray that You would forgive us of our sins, of all of our iniquities. You would cleanse us for Christ's sake and by His blood. You would grant us now ears to hear and eyes to see Him. Father, we pray that Your name would be praised and You would teach us Your ways, the ways that have been in the church in our day, conflated, confused, corrupted, but Your Word stands true always. And so we come to it and pray that You would give us wisdom. We pray You would also correct us and warn us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 1. These are God's words. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to. I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the heads thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned or digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold oppression. For righteousness, but behold a cry. And those are God's words. And then if you would turn to John's Gospel, chapter 15. John's Gospel, chapter 15, we'll read verses 1 through 8. Beginning in verse 1, these also are God's words. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. And those are God's words. Last Lord's Day, we heard very clearly, as it's laid out very plainly in the passage, that the well-beloved in Isaiah 5, the beloved is the Lord, very specifically, is Jesus Christ. Just the same as we see Him in the Song of Solomon. His vineyard which he begins to speak to in verse 3 of Isaiah 5. We see in verse 7, he tells us who the vineyard is. The vineyard is Israel. The vineyard is Judah. It is the church. Now remember what we've studied in Matthew's gospel so far in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. It is the church. And what is the church? It is the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. The kingdom has all true citizens. And yet there is a visible manifestation of all true citizens of the kingdom that they are a part of. There is a visible manifestation of that in which we see right now as we gather together in worship and throughout the world, the churches that gather in worship, called the visible church. The kingdom is filled with all true believers. Revelation 17, we heard, "And the Lamb shall overcome them, for He is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with Him are called and chosen and faithful." With the King, citizens of His kingdom. These are the truly elect, those who truly believe the gospel of Jesus Christ alone to save them from their sins. There is a most intimate and spiritual bond between them. Acts 4. Think of the bond between them. Acts 4. "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common." There is a spiritual bond between them because they're true believers. Just like we see sometimes in our congregation when we have needs of various things, we come to one another and we share and we help each other. Of this kingdom, Jesus Christ is King. Psalm 2. "Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion." And we know Psalm 2 speaking of Jesus Christ, the mediatorial King. Even though only true believers are the actual subjects of this King, they who truly constitute the church and His bride, being really, truly united to Jesus Christ, the Lord and King, Jesus is nevertheless King of the entire church, as the church is manifested, she is manifested in the world. And that is, again, what we call the visible church, what you can see, which includes all true believers, the elect, and also the unconverted, unbelieving members who have professed faith but are not true believers, together with their children. And this is where we get to the church in our day. And as we look back at Judah, the church then, in Isaiah, because we know the people of Judah, which is the church of the Lord at that time, not all of them were of the elect of God. Some of them were, and He has already spoken of those. And He had spoken of those when we looked at other prophets before this as well, that there is a remnant that will come out, a remaining people who will not be judged, or even in the physical judgment, they'll be brought out of it and established. Those are the elect, the true people of God. And yet, as not all of them were of the elect of God in Judah, most of them in the time of Isaiah were not of the elect of God, and yet they are part of the visible church on earth. Just like we have the visible church here and now. They were part of the visible church on earth nonetheless. And as we see, the Lord, our King, uses then Babylon. He's promising this in Isaiah. He's going to use the king, use the king of Babylon and all of Babylon to separate His people. His covenant people, His church. He's going to separate the wheat from the chaff. He's going to separate the truly elect, those who truly believe, and those who are in their sins and idolatry and are far from Him and have rebelled against Him. Consider again Matthew 7. "Does not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Again, this is important because these are people who consider themselves as being part of the very church of God. They do and they serve God. Did we not prophesy in thy name? Did we not cast out devils in thy name? And did we not do many wonderful works in thy name? Only people in the church do that. And yet the Lord Jesus says, there will be a time when he'll say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. They thought they were in the kingdom. They were in the visible manifestation of that kingdom on earth. The visible church. In the church, and Jesus told them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. That's the same we see happening in the prophets and here in Isaiah. And how can he say that to his people, his covenant people? When that first generation coming out of Egypt, how could he say that to them? And yet they didn't enter into the promised land. It's because he's the king. And it's his kingdom. And that's what he teaches us. Now looking at the passage of Isaiah 5, notice that the passage is very similar to the other passage we read in John 15. Similar. Not the same, but similar. Also shows us that our God does not change. Our God does not change from the Old Testament to the New Testament, despite what many people in the church today say. The Israel of old was the church, and no different than the church today, except we have more revealed to us, praise God. In Isaiah 5, Jesus, the well-beloved one, who cares for his vineyard, protects it, tends to it, does everything for his vineyard, for his covenant people, for his covenant people. Judah, Jehovah does this in Christ. He's built them up. He's given them worship. He's given them free access to come and pray to him. He's given them his presence among them. Given them his word. Given them the psalms to sing, praises to sing. Given them every privilege on earth. And above all of those privileges on earth, he's given his covenant people himself. He's given them himself. Outpoured himself upon them time and time again. Sending his son, Jesus, to be that source of life for them. And the Lord tends his vineyard so well. That's what we see in Isaiah 5 we heard last week. He tends it so well that it would bring forth good fruit, grapes. But instead, in the time of Isaiah, in the church at that time, it brought forth wild grapes. Or as we heard, bad grapes. And so judgment. Judgment, we heard last Lord's Day. He's going to send judgment upon Judah, his church. And they're not going to produce anything. They're going to be torn down. The vineyard will become filled with thorns and thistles and briars. Well, the similar passage, John 15, let's go there. There in Isaiah 5, as we're turning to John 15, Judah, in Isaiah 5, Judah was not abiding in the Lord. They were not abiding in the well-beloved Jesus. They were abiding in the things of the world, their own flesh. We heard this morning, they produced bad fruit or wild grapes. And so instead of producing fruit, they produced bad fruit, evil fruit. And so they must be, as we learn in Isaiah and we've learned in the previous chapters before that, they must be cut off. They must be cut off. Well, in the church today, John 15, Jesus is showing, it's no different. This evening we start looking more intently at what Jesus is teaching here. And looking first and only foremost this evening, positively, what is true and what is required of all of us. Because we see that Judah and the people that Jesus is talking to that don't abide in him, there are great consequences to that and great judgments that come to his church, to his people. And so this evening we're looking at Jesus. Jesus is the true vine. Jesus is the true vine. Jesus is giving them something not as visible or flashy or as impressive in the eyes of men, like we are so tempted to in our day and in their day, no different. As we covet with our eyes so much, but something infinitely more valuable and infinitely more substantial, infinitely more lasting and reliable, he offers himself. And the world doesn't want him. In the church, Jesus is offered, given freely to all who receive him. And here, John 15, the Lord's Supper has just been instituted, even though it's not really spoken of in John's Gospel. But the Lord's Supper has just been instituted. They're on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane. There's only 11 disciples left now, because Judas Iscariot has rebelled, as they're walking to Gethsemane. And Judas has gone to get people to betray Jesus, his master. And they're frightened. And by the end of that night, all of them will have abandoned him, or at least not be with him. The next afternoon, we could say from this point, tomorrow afternoon, Jesus will be crucified. The disciples will go into hiding until the third day. And he's saying, and they'll still be in hiding. And he's saying, the ones who are doing this to you, the ones who have this impressive temple, he's speaking of the Jews who were persecuting the disciples and persecuting Jesus. They have this impressive temple. They have this impressive golden vine that hangs over the door or the gateway of their temple, which is true of that temple at that time. They're not the church of God on earth any longer. You are the disciples. You are my disciples. I am the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. The Father is the vineyard worker. He prunes, he cares for the vines, but it's all of the taking. He's taking care of everything in the vineyard. And what Jesus is saying here in John 15. My Father is the one who made it this way. He chose the place. He tilled the soil. He made the preparation. This has been his operation from start to finish. This is how he planned it. Even that Christ would come into the world, suffer for his people. He hasn't been surprised by the unfaithfulness of the Jews. He hasn't been surprised by the unfaithfulness of Israel and Judah in the time of Isaiah. Because he's always been divine. He's always been divine. He's saying here, I'm not a new vine. He's saying, I'm the true vine. I'm the true vine. I am the one to whom Israel itself was always supposed to belong, to abide in. Abraham wasn't the root. That's what the Jews thought. Abraham was not the root. He saw my day and was glad. Jacob wasn't the root. He wrestled with me. He looked to me for life. He called me the shepherd who cared for him all his days. And so Jesus has always been the true vine. He's always been the true vine. The one who the people of God that were gathered out of the nations were to trust in, to keep trusting in, and keep trusting in. That's what they ought to do in abiding in him, hoping in him, living for him. But not only is Jesus now expanding his kingdom, his church, and at this point where as soon as he dies on the cross, has risen, and there is going to be this great expanse of his kingdom. His church, where he is not just the spiritual reality, but the earthly foundation of this church. There's Jesus, the 11 disciples, and then all those who would believe through their word. Not only is Jesus the root of the true covenant people on earth and always has been, but life by faith in him has always been the inward spiritual reality that true members of his church were always to have. And how often we come to this passage, we've probably been taught in the past that Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. Showing us to have that spiritual union with Christ when we believe in him as individuals. But it's important for us to notice that Jesus is speaking in the context of the disciples and the transition between the Old Testament and New Testament church, so they are the same. Really, it's the transition from the temple and the worship of the temple and his sacrifice, the final sacrifice on the cross. And Jesus is speaking against the background of Psalm 80 that we'll look at, Lord's willing, next Lord's Day. And Isaiah 5 as well, both would speak of the visible church. The visible church, true believers, as well as professing believers and their children. The church, not spiritual only, as we think of the visible church. It's not spiritual only, but it's not the elect only, but all who can see, who gather in the churches of Jesus Christ to come and worship Jehovah and where the gospel is preached. The visible church. All professing believers together with their children. Because we are about to read that there are branches on the vine, just like in Isaiah 5. There was everything put into the vine. Everything put into the vineyard. And out came bad grapes. But the vineyard is God's people, the church. We're about to read that there are branches on the vine that don't produce fruit. There are branches on the vine that don't abide in the vine. That is, there are branches in the very church of Jesus Christ who are attached to Him in that visible way and yet don't abide in Him. Just like Judah, the wild grapes. And so are cut off from the vine. Those who are in the visible church but don't abide in Christ are cut off from the vine. Now, since there are some wrongly in the church who apply this passage to all true elect believers in Jesus Christ because they don't have a proper understanding of covenant theology, that's what we're really starting to learn here. Covenant theology that's taught throughout the scriptures of God's covenants. Some people have made the mistake of thinking that it's possible for someone to have salvation in Jesus, from this passage, to have salvation in Jesus and then lose that salvation in Jesus because they didn't understand that Jesus is describing himself as the vine. He's describing himself as the vine of the church. And there's a church that started with Jacob, we could say. We could go back to Adam, but with Jacob, remember, it was the children of Israel. The children of Israel are now being exchanged for the children of Jesus. As it visibly represents or manifests itself, the remnant, the true Israel. He says, I am the true vine. Again, it's not the golden vine that we're probably not very familiar with. The golden vine that hung over the gates of the temple. Jesus is talking to these disciples here who were familiar with that. He's saying, I'm the temple. I'm the vine. And if we see that the true vine still has some false branches in it, we will see that it's not that there were people who were in the vine so much, if you mean trusting and believing in Jesus and having salvation, having forgiveness of sins, having that spiritual union with Christ, having His life in them like a vine that takes water, the nutrients, and it takes those nutrients, the water, to the branches to produce fruits. But rather what we have is a true vine that has dead branches in it. And must be pruned. That's the picture here. Consider verse 5. It says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Israel and Judah and Isaiah, the church today was to be a shining light to the nations. We still are. A shining light to the nations producing fruits. And they were not. Much of the church today, not producing good fruit. Jesus is the true servant of God who would gather the nations. He was the one who gives repentance to sinners and joy in the Lord. He's faithful in all that He does, obeying God and gathering in the nations, granting repentance to them. He's the root is faithful. Jesus is the true vine, and Judah and Israel are an example to you. Verse 2. Every branch, if we go back to Isaiah, thinking of that. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Every branch that beareth not fruit, he takes away. He judges them. He's planted, watered, gives the increase. And those who had an eye upon Christ, those who abide in the vine, the root, he upholds and makes them to flourish. He has an eye. He has an eye upon all the branches. He prunes them. He watches over them. And that nothing that would hurt them, as we heard in Isaiah 5. That nothing would hurt them. Never was any husbandman, the vineyard worker, so wise, so watchful about his vineyard as God is about his church, which therefore will prosper. And so, friends, today, abide in Christ. Gather your nutrients from Christ. Gather your life from Christ. We come to worship morning and evening. Why do we do this? To gather our life, our nutrients, and everything from Christ. And abiding in Christ produces fruit. We must be fruitful. What do you look for in a vine? If you're a gardener or something like that, what do you look for in a vine? Grapes. Right? You want to see grapes on that vine. Good grapes. What do we look for in a Christian? We look for Christ-likeness. Christ-likeness. In a Christian, we look for Christianity. This is the fruit, a Christian temper. A Christian disposition. A Christian life. Christian conversation. A Christian devotions. Christian designs. Christian testimony, a testifying of Christ. The branches are so connected to the vine, they look like they're part of the vine. They look like they are the vine. And so, the fruit that we are to bear is honoring Him, doing good according to His law by the Spirit, His grace, exemplifying the purity and power of the religion we profess, Christianity, of following after Christ, bearing Him, and this is bearing fruit. The disciples here must be fruitful. You must be fruitful as Christians in all the fruits of righteousness, and they as apostles in spreading the blessedness of the knowledge of Christ. To persuade the apostles, the disciples, and you, He warns you. To persuade you, He warns you of being unfruitful and of producing wild grapes. Bad fruit. Those who do not abide in the vine do not produce good fruit. So maybe in the church you abide in Christ, and there's lots of people in the church like this. You abide in Christ a little bit. And so what do you produce? What do you think if a branch abides just a little bit? Maybe it has a cut in it or something that's cutting off a lot of the nutrients in that branch. So you produce, if we're thinking of a grapevine, you produce this shriveled up blob that are sort of grapes, but they're no good. You wouldn't eat them. They look kind of rotten. The ones that have nutrient deficiency, well, they're no good. They have bad spots on them, mold or funguses, whatever. Every branch, he says, in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. You see, he's telling us the truth that in the church there are those who look like branches. In the church today, in our congregation today, there are those who look like branches in the true vine, in Christ. They look like Christians. They're in the church. They profess faith. And yet if they were really united to Jesus Christ by faith, they would bear fruit. But they don't. But it is almost as if they're one of those branches you find in the yard. Right? You go in your backyard after a storm. There's a branch in the yard. And you take a string, and if you had a grapevine, you walk over to the grapevine, and you tie on that branch so it looks like it's part of the vine. Kind of maybe fold in some of the leaves over top of it, makes it look like it's part of the vine. And so as you look at it, or somebody else would look at it, it looks like it's part of the vine. But as you take a closer inspection, it's not really grafted in. It's not really actually grafted into it. And it doesn't produce any foliage itself. No leaves. Certainly no fruit. They're just there by outward profession. They're saying, I'm a grapevine. I'm part of a grapevine. But they're really not. So again, from a distance, they look like they're part of the vine. But they're all dried up and dead. Unfruitful professors are unfaithful professors and become no more. And so, friends, if you do not bear fruit in Christ by His Spirit and grace, then you are as one who has borne no fruit at all. And so you're threatened here, warned here by Jesus Christ. If you don't produce fruit because you're not abiding in Christ, you're not abiding actually in the vine, then you'll be taken away. And God's justice and kindness, just as He did with Judah and Babylon, He judged them and took them away. And His justice and kindness to the rest of the branches, you will be taken away. Luke 8 says, take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. And so the fruitless branch will be removed from the vine, will be removed from the church, even from the vineyard. Verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they're burned. And so, friends, let that not be you today. Because this happens in the church all the time. And that's why Jesus is revealing this to us. Because it happens all the time. It happened in the Old Testament, in Judah, in Israel. And it happens today in the church. And we've seen that in our midst already. And so let it not be you, friends, but come and abide in Christ. Verse 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. You can do nothing on your own. What do you do if you take the grapevine, you take a branch off, you cut it off, you throw it in your yard on the ground? What happens to it? It dies. Apart from Him, you can do nothing. You die. And so we're to come and humble ourselves before the Lord and come and abide in Christ by the means He gives us to abide in Him in the church. What are those means? Worship. Word, sacraments, and prayer. Those are the lifeblood that gives us the nutrients, the water, right? As we're continually given Christ Himself. What great promises here, verse 7 even. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. But what if you don't bear fruit? You're not my disciples, He's saying. You're in the church, but you're not my disciples any longer. You'll be cut off. He tells you who His disciples are. His disciples are those who bear fruit by abiding in Christ. And so, friends, you have a difficult day, a difficult week, a difficult year. Abide in Christ. You have a good day. Abide in Christ. Think. Spring, right? It is springtime now. Some people planting now gardens and such, and started already doing that. And consider the planting of trees. On a bright, sunshiny day, what do the branches do? They abide in the vine. They abide in the tree. They abide in the plant. What do the leaves do when a storm rolls through? They abide in the vine. And if they continue to abide in the vine, what happens? They live. But if they are blown off, like when all of us have trees, usually most of us have trees, you've seen trees, the leaves blown off in a spring storm. What happens to those leaves that blow off? They wither and they die. Because they're not abiding in the tree any longer. They wilt and die. They come to nothing, because apart from Christ, you can do nothing. There's no fruit. Friends, so through blessed times and the storms, abide in Christ. You want to know what Judah did? They did not abide in Christ. They did not abide in the Beloved. They did not abide. The bridegroom, the Lord, and Savior, Jesus Christ, they didn't abide in Him, and they were what? They were judged. They were cast into the fire and burned forever, as the passage says in John 15 there. May that not be you. But come today, right now, to Jesus Christ. He promises you, even you, sinful, rebellious one, if that's you, if you come and you repent of your sins today and believe on Him and abide in Him, and abide in Him day after day after day, you will live forever. You will thrive and you will produce good fruit as you flourish. Maybe you, Christian, or professing Christian, maybe you have been abiding in Christ a little bit. And so, on the Lord's Day, you come and abide in Christ a little bit. Right? You're here. But then you go out, you get your nutrients, and then you go out again. And you do whatever you want, and you sin. And you rebel against the Lord in Christ. And so you don't produce fruit. There's not much fruit that you can see in your life. There's struggle. And Jesus is saying to you now, come and abide fully in Me. Fully in Me. Your struggle is because, why do you struggle in life? Your struggle is because you're not abiding in Me, He says. Come to Christ today and abide in Him. You are the true branches. You who are the true branches. Those of you who abide in the vine and produce fruit. You are the true branches. And so if you're struggling with your assurance, and yet you see much fruit, and you are part of the vine, you're His. Are there true branches in the church? Of course there are. Absolutely. Are there branches in the church that do not produce fruit? In this congregation that don't produce fruit? Absolutely there are. Why do we know this? Because Christ says that's true. He says it in this passage. The Lord promises that they will be taken away. If that's you, you'll be taken away. And so now, having been warned of the coming fire, the burning up of the fruitless branches, come and abide in Christ. Be fruitful unto Him. And that is your only hope today. And coming humbly, coming and abiding in the true vine, Jesus Christ. He says, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in Me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without Me you can do nothing. Now think of that verse. I am the vine. He says to everybody here, you are the branches. And then He says, if you abide in Me, you're the part of the branches right now. If you abide in Me, and I abide in you, I in Him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without Me you can do nothing. Let's pray. Our Father, we give You praise once again, that on this point You are so clear. Of the visible church, there are both the wheat and the chaff, the wheat and the tares, and they're always mixed together. And on the vine, of which You are the vine, connected to You, in Your visible church are branches, good fruit-producing branches, and then there's those other branches that don't abide in You. And they will be taken away. Father, if there any here who may abide a little in You, or don't abide at all in You, we pray that You would turn them from their sins today and grant them faith in Christ, that they would abide truly in the vine and not be taken away and burned in the great fire of eternity in hell. Father, grant salvation to Your people, Your elect today. And grant us wisdom in these things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.